Open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6. The husbandman that labors must first part be partaker of the fruits. And Colossians 1 and 10. Now who's the husbandman, by the way? It's God. All right. First Colossians 1 and 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all well-pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we've read three scriptures here speaking of how you are the husbandman and you are the first to partake of the fruit. And yet we, as your children, as your branches, are to bring forth that fruit. And so, Lord, we recognize, Father, that there's something that lays in your word for each and every one of us. And that is to manifest the very life that was manifested in your Son. Be with us, Father, as we study thy word tonight. And Lord, believing that your word is to rightly correct us, it is to get us ready for the rapture. As Brother Bram said, we must lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. And so we commit our ripening unto thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, I'd like to take a short message from John chapter 15. And when I woke up this morning after receiving the news of my mother's passing, I opened my Bible to John chapter 14 and read and continued on, reading in verse 15. And I thought, there's quite a message here in the first several verses of chapter 15. So I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. John 15, verse 1 from the King James Version. I am the true vine, and as the Weiss translation says, in contradistinction to the vine that is not true, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I'd like for you to think about these words that he's saying here, because these are very, very important words, he says. Every branch in me or that claims to be in me, or in other words, every branch that claims to be Christian that bears not fruit, he, God, taketh away. So it looks like God will, like any true vine dresser, will cut away any branch that does not bear fruit. But then he says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. On the one hand, you have the branch that is in the vine, not bearing anything, drying up, shriveling up, withering away. And God says, it's only fit for one thing, burning. Then you have the other branch that's got fruit, it's growing, showing maturity. And what does he say about that? He says, do you say, I'm really happy about that? I'm glad I'm just going to sit back and just, you know, they've done enough. No. He says they can do more. And so in order for them to bear fruit, now catch this, he purges it. In other words, you get your trials, you get your tests to do what? It's not to beat on you. It's to perfect you. It's to bring out more fruit
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Now we need to know what it means by he will purge it in order for it to bring forth more fruit. I like what I'm hearing here because John is telling us that he is the vine and the vine is the main stem that carries the life of the plant. In John 5:26, we read the scripture says, the life is in the Father and he gives it to his Son and to him whomsoever he will. So the main stem, the main artery of life, the main river of life, so to speak, came down through the Son and into sons. And so he is the vine and the vine is the main stem that carries the life of the family, the branch. I mean the plant. And the branches are just what you might call sub-vines, or those that branch off, and they also carry the life of the vine. And the evidence that they are carrying the life of the vine is that they are producing fruit. So when they cease to bear fruit or be fruit-bearing, that is when they have dried up and they are dead and they are fit only for burning. Brother Brown called it firewood. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word. In other words, it's the washing of the water by the word which cleanses us. Or as Psalm 119, I believe it is, it says, where doth a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word. And he tells us here that we are clean through the word, he says, which I have spoken unto you, the spoken word. Hallelujah. Then he tells us we must remain in him. And he says, abide in me. That means to remain in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. So the fruits that we're looking at can only be produced as long as the branch remains attached to the life-giving or the life-flowing from the vine itself. Brother Branham, as we quoted that last week, Sunday, Brother Branham talked about that, like a big, long umbilical coming down, giving life. See, when the baby is in the mother's womb, there's an umbilical cord bringing all the nourishment, all the life through that one stem. So the fruits we're looking at can only be produced as long as the branch remains attached to the life-giving flow from the vine, or from the vine life. Verse 5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, or makes his home in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said? Without the Father, I can't do nothing. If a man abideth not, or remains not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he withers away, and men gather them only to cast them into the fire and to burn them. As Brother Bram said, the fruitless branch is good only for the firewood. Verse 7. But if you abide or remain in me, and my word abides or remains in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be given you. Herein is my Father glorified. Herein is my Father endoxazod. Herein is my Father's opinions, his values, his judgments are magnified, that you bear much fruit. How are God's opinions multiplied, magnified? When you and you and you and you and you are expressing those, are manifesting those. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying here. He says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. How is God glorified? How is God endoxazod? How is God's doxa magnified? Well, his doxa is his values, his opinions, his judgment. And it's through you, when you bear much fruit. So your fruit, the fruit that we're talking about here, is his values, his opinions, his judgments, which are manifested in you. So it's very apparent that we have no right to call ourselves disciples of Christ unless we show in our very lives evidence or fruit of his life abiding in us, because he says that you bear much fruit, and in doing so you shall be called my disciples, or you shall be my disciples. And you can't be a disciple without discipline. They both come from the same root word, discipline and disciple. Now from the Amplified Version, I'd like to read this. Verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me. So apparently at one time, that branch, because in order for that branch to grow, it had to have life to grow. Is that right? The foolish virgin had oil in their lamps, but it went out. Is that right? You understand, you can sit in this message and you can be enlightened for a season and then you begin to dry up. No more fruit, no more life, no more stimulation of revelation. It becomes church, it becomes social, it becomes an obligation. But I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not or no longer bears fruit, that stops bearing it, he cuts away and trims it away. And he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit. Aren't we thankful for that pruning? To make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. That's the translation from the Amplified. Now in his sermon, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Branham said, flesh cannot do those things. What is it? The vine, the branches, the same life that was in the vine comes through its branches. He feeds the branch through his vine. That's how he declares himself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. For he said, I'm the vine, the Holy Spirit now. Christ is the Spirit form in you, energizing you with his Spirit to believe God. And he's everything that he does. He manifests himself just like he did in the Bible times. The works that I do shall you do also. A little while the world won't see me no more. How many knows he said that? That's the unbeliever. Yet you shall see me, the believer. For I is a personal pronoun, I'll be with you even in you to the end of the world. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The works that I do shall you do also. Now the word there in the Greek, the King James says, greater works than this will you do. But if you run that back to the Greek lexicon, you'll find that it doesn't mean greater, it means more. You couldn't do greater. He stopped nature. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He'd done things. Well, there could be no more done as far as in quality. So Brother Branham is letting us know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's because the same life is in his church, to his people. Now from James 5 and verse 7, he said, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruits of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Notice, the husbandman, that's God, waiteth for the precious fruits of the earth. He's waiting on you. That's what Brother Branham said. That's what Joseph Branham quoting Brother Branham. And yet ministers mock that. Say, God's waiting on us. Isn't there predestination and election and foreknowledge? Yes, there is. Let me tell you, if you don't understand predestination, when I have a little seed and everything that seed ever will be is in that seed. Brother Brown said, every apple that would ever fall off an apple tree is in that little seed to begin with. Put it in the ground. What do? It gets watered and you wait. And you wait and you wait and you wait until it begins to produce fruit. God is not coming until his bride begins to produce his values, his glory, his doxa, his opinions, his judgments. Yes. You say, well, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, I'm nothing. That's right. It's not what you do. Though you give your body to be burned. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the fruit is the life of God expressing itself in you and through you. It's not what you can do. Jesus said, the branch can't do anything. Unless it's attached to the vine. Amen? James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. and he has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, another quote, Brother Branham says, the Bible said, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. The vine doesn't bear fruit. The branch bears fruit. And the branch will bear the fruit of the vine it's connected with. And I ask any scholar of the scripture to show me where Christ ever organized a church or made an organization where he ever said a certain bunch of creeds would do it. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot even understand the kingdom of God. If it's pumpkin vine, it'll bear pumpkins. If it's watermelon vine, it'll bear watermelons. If it's a grapevine, it'll bear grapes. If we are the branches of his church, we'll bear the fruits of the Lord Jesus. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. The same kind, not a different, the same works that I do, God help us. That's your prophet. God help us when we come to the place where people can't even accept the fact that there's got to be fruit in their life. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. What's he saying here? Paul is telling us that the whole purpose of the fivefold ministry is to help the children become mature adults. In other words, produce fruit. Come to the place where you're supposed to come to. In Philippians 4:17, he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You see, it is a desire of the fivefold to see the fruit in the people because the fruit shows life. The fruit shows growth. And the fruit shows the plant has come to full maturity. It's bearing fruit. And it's ripening. It's laying in the presence of the sun ripening. And it's ready for harvest. Hallelujah. Therefore, the whole purpose of the plant is not so you can sit back and look at it. It will bear fruit. You don't plant an apple tree so that in the springtime you can see the blossoms. That's nice. But that's not why you plant the apple tree. You want apple pies. Or you want an apple a day to keep the doctor away. Right? Why would God plant seed to grow up his children? He wants to produce images of himself. From letting off the pressure, or from Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, unto the glory, unto the doxa, and the praise of God. And from letting off the pressure, Brother Ram said, Jesus said in John 14, I am the vine and you are the branches. And the first branch that come forth out of the vine, they wrote a book of Acts behind it. That's right. And today we have denominations living on the name of Christianity, but only bearing denominational fruit. That's right. But if that vine ever puts forth another branch, you'll write a book of Acts behind it. Because it'll bear the original life. If the Spirit of Christ is in the church, well, it'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said so. Jesus said so. So who are we to argue with that? Verse 3. He says, you are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you. In other words, the teachings I have discussed with you. That's from the Amplified Version. When we abide in the word, it cleanses us, and we die to ourself. And in dying to ourself, the very life that is in that word becomes alive in us and is living in us and through us. From Matthew 3, verse 10, Jesus said, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, from you must be born again, Brother Branson. When you're born again, God vindicates you. Oh, I thought only a prophet was vindicated. That's what he says. Listen to what he says is your vindication. Because look, let's get right down to what language means. Vindicate means to prove. It means to prove. God vindicates a prophet because the prophet has what God said a prophet would have. Thus saith the Lord, and it'll come to pass. That's how God vindicates a prophet. But how does he vindicate you as a Christian? He comes and he lives in you. Listen, when you're born again, God vindicates you. That's how God vindicates all of his nature. What? By their fruits. That's the way he vindicates his ministry. That's right. All of his servants are vindicated the same way that he vindicates nature. How do you know it's a peach tree? Because it brings peaches. How do you know that it's an apple tree? Because it bears apples. How do you know it's a Christian? Because Christian signs are bearing from it. Christian life comes out of it. And how do you know he's a teacher? Because the word comes from him. How do you know he's a prophet? Because the word comes through him. It bears record. Vindication. It proves itself. How does it become that? When it dies and becomes one. That's right. When we die and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, it gets us with our calling. We stay with our calling. The fruits of the Spirit follows us. And when we are his servants, when we are born again, the fruits of Christ's life follows us. That's right. How do you know it's a peach tree? It's got peaches. How do you know he's a Christian? He acts like Christ. He walks like Christ. He talks like Christ. He lives like Christ. Above sin, he's victorious. And what does he do? He says, see what I done? Christ didn't do that. He gave all praise to the Father. That's right. That's how you know it. By their fruits you shall know them. What must, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot even understand the kingdom of God. There's your evidence. Right there. That's your evidence. All right, Matthew 7, 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs from thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. Not by their doctrine. No, by their fruits. Now, doctrine is only one of the fruits. The teaching of the season, Brother Brown said, that's a fruit. But the other nine fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, meekness, those things. From you must be born again. He said, Father, I believe that it's ordained of you that it should be this way, that we might understand what birth and resurrection mean, what it means to be born again. We have to. First things first, we have to die in order to be born again. And that's the biggest problem. When people want to come and be born again, the first thing is repent. In other words, die to your own thinking. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the first thing, we have to die in order to be born again. You never change your law. The law of nature still provides. The law of nature is that any seed must first die, it must first rot in order to be born again. And we realize that we too must die in order to be born again. And so many, Lord, today, I pray that you forgive us, so many has depended upon certain experiences they had that they claim that they're born again. But the fruits of their life shows that it is, that they were brought on the wrong tree. So, you know, this argument over experience or evidence, there's a balance right down the middle. There is an experience. But if that experience doesn't produce an evidence that your heart is your umbilical is tied to God and your life shows it. Not just you can talk. Look, you can train monkeys to talk. You can train parrots to talk. They can quote the right things, you know. You could train a parrot to say, you know, apply the token. Apply the token. He's saying the right things. But he can't apply the token. And you can talk it, but if you're not walking the walk and walking in the light, because he did say if you talk in the light as he is in the light. He said if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. Now, why do I say this? Because, brother, sister, it's getting late. It's too late an hour to be making plans to be doing this and that and just running, you know, away from your role as a son of God and getting ready. Our main objective should be getting ready for going home. It could be the spring yet. Could be next spring, but it's very, very close. Don't get your eyes off of him. Keep focused. In Mark 4, verse 7, and some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and 100-fold. Also Matthew 13:23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now listen. Our text tonight is where he says, if the branch doesn't bear fruit, it's cut away. God will make a way for it to be put aside, for it to be separated, and that's what it says. God will give you opportunity. Just as sure as you're sitting here, God will give you opportunity to be separated from the life of the Word. Or, if you are producing fruit, God's going to give you every kind of test there is to make sure that that fruit is sweet. We're going to read some scripture here tonight where Paul even says that our fruit is produced by it'll bring forth by peace. By peace. From the message, why? Brother Bram said, how does a doctor ever find what kind of a medicine that can work on a person with? Yes, they're afraid of the new birth. You know that. You know what? The reason that they're afraid of the new birth is because, listen, excuse me, sisters, will you? This is a mixed audience, but you listen to your doctor. Well, I'm your brother, and any birth is a mess. I don't care where it's at. If it's in a pig pen or in a barnyard, or if it's in the pink decorated hospital room, it's a mess. And a new birth is too. It will make you squall and bawl and wash all that paint off your face. It'll do things that you didn't think that you would do. You'll carry on like you never did think that you'd done. It's a mess. But you know, before you can be born, you have to die. And some people die awful, awful hard. They kick and they bawl and they scream and they carry on. But unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it'll abide alone. If you want to bring forth fruit, die to yourself and your man-made theology and be born again of the Spirit and the resurrection. That's right. Get rid of the old spirit of selfishness and dryness that's in you and take on new life. It's messy. That means when you say things that you shouldn't have said and the Holy Spirit quickens you, you should apologize. You should make it right. When you catch yourself, stop doing it. Make it right. Listen to that voice, that inner voice, when you're heading out to do something that's wrong. Don't get bullheaded. I'm going to do it anyway. You're going to do it anyway. If you are God, you're going to get a 4x4. That's right. So what are the fruit that God is looking for? Well, besides the doctrine and fruits of the Spirit, he's looking for growth. He's signs of maturity. Signs that you are alive in Christ Jesus. That you're plugged in. That you're alive. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. He's looking for purity. Then peaceable. And gentle. And easy to entreat. Full of mercy. Full of mercy. Are we? And good fruits. Without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness or of right wiseness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let me just say this. If you're at war with anyone, better be very, very careful. Because when Jesus was being led to the cross, and when he hung on the cross, he didn't say, Father, avenge me. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good or its fruit good, or make else the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruits. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be back and forth. Don't have dirty jokes coming out of your mouth 1 minute and you're talking scripture the next. Get rid of the dirty talking, filthy talking. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness or right wiseness unto them that are exercised thereby. Learn from your mistakes and don't do them again. That's called perfecting yourself. How? How does a young man perfect himself, cleanse himself? By taking heed to the word. Before you do anything, before you enter into any agreement, you make sure that that's right with the word. All parts of it. If it's not, forget it. It's the devil. And the devil can make himself look just like a Christian. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelief. Ephesians 5, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and right wiseness and truth. And Galatians 5:22. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Now, Brother Bram said, from hear ye him. He said, that's the reason he could smile here. Jesus had carried out every word of it. That's it. He'd carried out just exactly to the word now because he was that perfect son. And he is the same, and he died to become the vine that we might become the branches. That he can energize us with his life to make the same life that he had living in us. Isn't that what a vine is? The same life that goes through the vine works its way into the branches? Then we'll do the same thing. Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now, we watch what he done. See, we haven't time tonight, but we'll take it up later and see what his works was. Now, maybe tomorrow night. Then, see if he will perform the same works. And if he does, he remains the same. Now then, God would be pleased with that. Verse 4. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without me, without being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. From God keeps his word, Brother Branham said, and when he went away, his works was to be carried on in his church until he returned. Is that right? He said, we are the branches. He is the vine. Is that right? St. John, the 15th chapter. I am the vine, you are the branches. And every branch that bringeth forth fruit is pruned and fixed up and purged, so it'll bring forth more. But the branch that doesn't bear fruit is plucked off. Now the branches is the one that bears the fruit, not the vine. So we, the church, is left as the branches. So your eyes and my eyes is the only eyes that God has on the earth. Your lips and my lips is his branch. He energizes it to bring forth fruit. And our ears is his ears. Our hands to do good is his hands. Our feet are his feet to carry us to church and to do good. Blessed are the feet that bear good things. And also we are his vine. And he just pours his energy into us. Again, verse 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. From healing in Jairus, Brother Ram said, you remember when he stood there looking out upon the harvest. He said he was the Lord of the harvest. He said the harvest is ripe and laborers are but few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. In other words, pray for me that I will send laborers into my harvest. Which I'm just telling you, it's such a needy thing. But part of it lays in human beings. Do you believe that? The kingdom of God lays within human beings. Now, Jesus said in one place, I am the vine, you are the branches. The vine can't bear fruit. The branches in the vine bears the fruit. God cannot bear fruit of himself. It's got to take the church. Is that right? He's got to take the branches to bear fruit. And when you branches are yielded to the vine, then fruit comes forth. See what I mean? God wants your hands, He wants your eyes, He wants your tongue, He wants your lips, He wants your ears, He wants your hands and feet so that He can bring forth fruit through you. John 15, the second half of chapter, verse 5. However, apart from me, cut off from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Therefore, it is not what you do that merits anything. It's not what you do. It is what He does through you. Living and abiding in your life, His life, living itself out in you, as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I kill myself off every day. Yet it's not I'm that's living, it's actually Christ is living in me. And the life that's now living in this flesh isn't me. It's Christ Jesus. That's what Paul says. It's Christ living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I live by His faith, the faith of the Son of God. Therefore, it's not what you can do. It's not what you can merit. It is what He does through you, living and abiding in your life. His life living in you that counts to God. Nothing else matters. Verse 6, if a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch, and he withers. And such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. And if you live in me and abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your heart, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. And when you bear or produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of me. So how do you prove yourself to be a true follower? By producing fruit, by producing the very life of Christ in your flesh. From door to the heart, Brother Ram said, if it's a sinful vine you're hooked into, it'll bear sin. If it's a church vine, it'll bear churchianity. If it's Christ, it'll bear the works of Christ. It's got to. I am the vine and you are the branches. And now He only has hands, mine and yours, eyes, mine and yours. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let me say this as I'm leaving tonight. And from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, said if a Christian church is the branch that's in Christ, they'll do the works of Christ and bear the life of Christ. By their fruits you shall know them. Now then, the way that He is today, He's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, working through His church, performing the same things that He ever did. That makes Him the same yesterday, today, and forever. His life, the life that was in Christ, which was God, produced the kind of life that He lived in. That same life comes into His church, His church members. Since they have been purged by the blood and given the Holy Spirit access to work through them, it bears the same fruit that He bore. So therefore, the world can see then that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I know that we believe that, and we sing of, you know, we sing, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. And we say, well, see, the ministry of Jesus in Alpha is in the Omega in William Branham. That's true, but it's also in you. Because it's not just yesterday and today, it's and forever. And what about in Luther's day? Could he say yesterday and today, or no, yesterday and somewhere down the road? Huh? What about Wesley? What about Columba? What about Martin? It's the same yesterday, today, and forever because a vindicated prophet of God says, he quotes it, he says, if a Christian church is the branch that Christ is in, they'll do the works of Christ and bear the life of Christ. By their fruits you shall know them. And he says, that is yesterday, that is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, now, then, the way that He is today, He's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, working through His church, performing the same things that He did. That makes Him the same yesterday, today, and forever. His life, the life that was in Christ, which was God, produced the kind of life that He lived then. That same life comes into His churches, plural. His church members, plural. Since they have been purged by His blood and given the Holy Spirit access to work through them, bears the same fruit that He bore. Now, I hope that I don't get a lot of feedback on this one, where they say, well, this is, you know, this is another John 14, 12 thing, where they say, oh, now he's saying that this is not William Branham. No, it is William Branham. He's part of it. William Branham's part of John 14, 12 as well. In fact, a very important part of it. But that doesn't mean that you're not. You understand? From will the church go through the tribulation? Now, the Lord Jesus, when He was here on earth, the works that He did which we've just quoted, he promised that he would come again before the end time and would do the same thing. He said he would do it through his church. Now, he said, I am the vine. And listen, you say, no, one man. Let me tell you something. Jesus' definition of a church is two or three. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. That's the church, not one person. And he says he'll do it through his church. Now, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, the vine doesn't bear fruit. The branches bear fruit. If it's a pumpkin vine, it'll bear pumpkins. If it's a watermelon vine, it'll bear watermelons. If it's a cantaloupe vine, it'll bear cantaloupe. If it's a grapevine, it'll bear grapes. If it's a Christian vine, it'll bear Christ. The life of Christ. The works of Christ. See? Then our spirit has to be energized by something. I'm so glad to be in Him tonight. Aren't you? I am. Again, from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He preached His sermon, I don't know, probably eight times. These are different times that He preached it. He's saying the same thing. And he took John 15 as his title because, I mean, that's... He's showing the vine and the branch, the vine and the branch, the vine and the branch. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. You see? You have to know it by the Spirit. Flesh cannot do these things. What is it? The vine, the branches. The same life that was in the vine comes through His branches. He feeds the branch through His vine. That's how He declares Himself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. For He said, I'm the vine, the Holy Spirit now, Christ in spirit form in you, energizing you with His Spirit to believe God. And He's everything that He does. He manifests Himself just like He did in the Bible times. The works that I do shall you do also. A little while and the world will see me no more. How many knows He said that? That's the unbeliever. Yet ye shall see me, the believer. For I, personal pronoun, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The works that I do shall you do also. Now the word there in the King James Version is greater works than this shall you do. But if you run that back through the Greek lexicon, you find out that it doesn't mean greater, it means more. You couldn't do no greater. He stopped nature, He healed the sick, He raised the dead, He'd done those things. Well, there could be no more done, but you could do more of it because He would be in His church as the vine in His branches or the whole world around. And as I said in the booklet, that Brother Branham defined the greater works as three different things. He said he did the greater works in my ministry. That's one way. He said He did the greater works when you combine all the works of Christ in the church universal. That's greater works also, he said. And the third way is, he said, it is to impart life. He said that's really the greatest of the greater works, he said, is to impart life. All right. From what is the attraction? Well, let's take John 14:12 of the New Testament, Jesus said. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Also, Luke 17:22-30, he said, as it was in the days of Lot, before Sodom was burned, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man, that day when the Son of Man is being revealed. Oh, just look at the scripture. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, growed to past denominations, growed into the top of the tree. What did he say in John 14 or 15? Every branch that is in me that does not bring forth fruit, it'll be cut off and pruned, throwed into the fire and burned. But every branch that'll bring forth fruit, it'll be purged. From stature of a perfect man, he said, some of them say, well now, the Bible said that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the church says, in a certain sense, he is the same. Uh-oh. Oh no, you done broke the gap right there. See? Yes, sir. No, sir. He is the same. Yes, sir. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no difference in him at all. He lives in his church doing the same things. A little while, as I quoted a while ago, a little while the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me. For he said, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Again, he said, the works that I do shall you do also. Again, he said, if I be the vine, you'll be the branches. And the branch only lives by the life of the vine. Whatever's in the vine comes out through the branch. Glory. Then Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, it produces the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. From Hear Ye Him, he said, I hope that of all the ages rest there on the person, the hope of all the ages rest there on the person of the Lord Jesus returning the second time. He was a man, yes, but he was a divine man. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jehovah's tabernacle. Not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me, said the Son. He doeth the works. In other words, in that day the Father was the vine. He was the branch to bear the fruit of God. Now, he becomes the vine, and we become the branch. And all that was in God was poured into Christ. Now, here it is. But listen, all that was in Christ was poured into the church. The works that I do shall you do also. More than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. You see it? We are living under our God-given privilege that God has redeemed us to. And from letting off the pressure. Jesus said in John 14, I am the vine, you are the branch, and the first branch that come forth out of the vine, they wrote a book of Acts behind it. That's right. And today we have denominations living on the name of Christianity, but only bearing a denominational fruit. That's right. But if the vine that ever puts forth another branch, you'll write a book of Acts behind it because it'll bear the original life. If the Spirit of Christ is in the church, well, it'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said so. From half faith in God, any vine bears fruit through the branch of what it is. If it don't do the same thing Jesus did, then it's not Jesus. Certainly. If God told you the spirit of Dillinger was in me, I'd have guns and if God told you the spirit of Dillinger was in me, I'd have guns and I'd be dangerous. If God told you the spirit of an artist was with me, you'd expect me to paint the picture of an artist. If I say the spirit of Christ is in me, then it produces the works of Christ. He promised it. And from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, if a Christian church is the vine or the branch that's in Christ, they'll do the works of Christ and bear the life of Christ. By their fruits, you'll know them. Now then, the way that he is today, he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, working through his church, performing the same thing that he did there. That makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. His life, the life that was in Christ, which was God, produced the life, the kind of life that he lived in. That same life comes into his churches. His church members, and since they have been purged by his blood and given the Holy Spirit access to work through them, it bears the same fruit that he bore. So therefore, the world can see them then that Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in closing, in Jude 1, it says, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Now what's wind stand for? It's doctrine, every wind of doctrine. Trees whose fruit withereth, whose doctrine withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. No fruit. And from door of the heart. If it's a sinful vine that you're hooked into, it'll bear sin. If it's a church vine, it'll bear churchianity. But if it's Christ, it'll bear the works of Christ. It's got to. I am the vine and you are the branches. And now, he only has hands, mine and yours, eyes, mine and yours. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let me say this in closing. Let's look at Luke 8 and verse 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And they bring no fruit to perfection, to maturity. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this word. We just pray, Father, that it wouldn't just go in one ear and out the other. We pray it wouldn't just go into our mind and make a circle there and somehow come out. But Father, we pray that it would go into our mind and come out in our hands, come out our lips, come out our ears, come out our eyes. In other words, the very life of your word would take over this being. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. And it's not I that's living, but it's Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God, his revelation, his faith. And so, Father, we just pray, Father, that the life that has quickened us, our life that we died to and the life that we live to, your life, would take over and live our lives for us from henceforth and forever until we're ready for a rapture. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Number 27, farther along.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be there are others living about us. Never molested, though in the wrong. Father, when death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year? Father, alone will know all about it. Father, when we see Jesus coming in glory, when He comes from home in the sky, then we shall meet Him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along.